Happy Sabbath, family.
One more time. Happy Sabbath, family. As always, it's good to be in the house of the Lord on a Sabbath morning. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of the blessings in our life. Thank you for this time that we could come together to worship you. Over the next few moments, may it be your words, not mine, that are shared. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The theme for this quarter is born to serve. Born to serve. Now, we might be born to serve, but for some reason, oftentimes, it's difficult for us to serve naturally and consistently. Now, why is that? Why don't we serve? You know, if you think about it, when we serve others, there is an objective and clear benefit that is bestowed upon the recipient. When you donate dollars to a homeless man, when you gift groceries to a struggling family, when you administer aid to a stranded motorist, there is a blessing that flows outwards. But there's also a blessing that flows inwards, right? It's that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you know that you're being a blessing in the life of someone else. So you got blessings flowing outwards, blessings flowing inwards, all in this one experience of service. But again, I ask, why don't we serve? So for the next few minutes, family, and I emphasize the word few, we're going to be going over a few possible reasons why sometimes we just don't serve. Let's head straight into it. The first possible reason that we're going to talk about is stuff. Now let's go to the word. Matthew 19, 20 through 22. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. The rich young ruler was called to a life of service, but he had much property. He had much possessions. He had a lot of stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, family. The problem wasn't his stuff. Jesus had wealthy followers, right? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they were wealthy followers of Christ. So what was the problem? It was the place of prominence and priority in the rich young ruler's heart that his possessions occupied. His stuff just meant too much to him. And often, family, with us, it's the same way. Our pursuit for the toys, trinkets, and trappings of this world can often become too great a priority in our life. And the greater that pursuit grows, the greater that priority grows, it causes a reduction in our desire to serve. Because at its core, service is about ministering, not materialism. I'm gonna say it again, and then you guys are gonna fill in the blanks for me, okay? Service is about what?
Ministry.
Not what?
Materialism.
Materialism. There. Point number one. The second possible reason as to why we just don't serve is self. Let's go to the word. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 34. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." You see, family, both the priest and the Levite were part of elevated classes of Jewish society. And you think about it, they couldn't just call 911, right? And just wait for the ambulance to come. No, they had to go to him, kneel down, pick him up off the ground, clean his wounds, bandage him up, and take him to shelter. The situation required a more involved and intimate type of assistance. But they didn't want to defile themselves. They didn't want to bring themselves low. They judged this poor man as being unworthy. Unworthy of their service. Family, sadly enough, sometimes we too make that judgment of others, either consciously or subconsciously. Think about it. When you think to yourself, when you see a person on the street, "Oh, why doesn't, I don't want to give her money because she's probably just going to go use it on drugs or alcohol." Or when you think to yourself, "Why doesn't he just go get a job? He has 2 feet, 2 legs, 2 arms. He looks strong. Why doesn't he just go get a job?" Or when we think to ourselves, "I don't want to embrace him because I don't embrace his lifestyle." We don't want to kneel down and pick that person up and clean his wounds and bandage him up and care for him. The key to remember when serving others, family, is that it's a horizontal interaction, not a vertical one. It's not us in our elevated positions, in our relative wealth and status, reaching down and saying, "Oh, here, let me help you, poor person." It's, "Let me help you because you're my brother. Let me help you because you're my sister, because we're all in it together." This nuance became very clear to me this last fall when I got a chance to travel with ADRA. And there's this one story in particular. I was in Uganda, and I was at a refugee camp for refugees that were coming over the border from South Sudan to escape the unrest. And I was in a particular part of the camp, and there was a young gentleman that was kind of leading me around, because I guess his English was the best, he was kind of the de facto spokesperson for this community. And after some time, he pulled me aside, and he said, "I need some help. I need some help." And in my mind, I was just thinking, oh, okay, here we go. He wants money, he wants food, all right, let me see what I can do, you know, because I'm here and his experience is here. And he pulls me aside, and what he says is, "I want to go to school." And in that moment, I realized that he wants the same thing that I want out of life. He just wants a better future, just like everyone else. Because point number two, service is about equality, not hierarchy. Let's do it again. Service is about what?
Equality.
And not hierarchy. That's what it's about. So far we covered two of the possible reasons as to why we don't serve. What was the first one? Stuff, right? I heard it. And then?
Self.
Final one. Sin. Sin. Let's go to the word. John chapter 12, verses 3 through 6. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Judas had a cherished sin. And for him, it was greed. And that cherished sin had such a strong hold on his life that he was even willing to steal from Jesus. Now let that marinate for a second, right? Judas was willing and capable of stealing from Jesus, whom he had seen wield divine power time and time again. That's how strong of a hold his cherished sin had in his life. And that's why, when he had an opportunity to show compassion for Mary during this story and care, he couldn't. Because his sin blocked his ability to serve. You see, family, sin is inherently about us, right? We sin because it benefits us. Altruistic sinning is basically a logical impossibility. We don't sin to benefit others. We sin because we like it. Because it gives us pleasure, because it feeds our ego. And when we indulge in sin habitually, it feeds that selfish side within us, while at the exact same time starving our desire to serve. And so if you're sitting here and thinking, "You know what, Sunday? Actually, I don't really care about people. I don't really care to serve. I don't really have compassion." I implore you to take stock of your life and assess as to whether or not there's a cherished sin that has a stronghold in your life that's sucking your desire to serve. Because at its core, service is about selflessness, not selfishness. Say it with me. Service is about what?
Selflessness.
Not
selfishness.
So what are the three reasons we talked about? First one, stuff. Self. Sin. Now before we close, I'd like you to turn your eyes upon Jesus, who was the greatest servant. You see, that's not an adjective that we usually use to describe Christ, but it is so true. Think about it. When it came to stuff, the devil laid out all of the treasures and glories in earth, both current and future, and said, "Here you go. This is for you." But Christ chose ministering versus materialism. When it came to self, time and time again, Christ treated societies marginalized and ostracized as equals. From the Samaritan woman at the well, to Zacchaeus, to the lepers, the lame, and the blind, to the prostitutes. You see, we are those people. But Christ's service exhibited equality. And he shattered hierarchy. Let me say that one more time. Christ's service exhibited equality and shattered hierarchy. And when it comes to the last one, sin, well, he was sinless. He was perfect. His life exemplified selflessness. And the selflessness with which he lived his life is the same selflessness with which he gave his life on Calvary's cross for me and for every single one of you. My God. And so this morning, as we close, I want to invite you, if you're willing to put aside stuff, to put aside self, to put aside sin, and willing to follow our Lord's example in serving others, because that's what we are born to do. That's what we are called to do. If you're willing to do those things, I ask you prayerfully to raise your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the example of what it means to serve that he presented to us. We want to recommit our lives this morning to putting aside all of these other things. We know it's going to be difficult, but we want to take the first step today. Please bless us with your Holy Spirit so that we may make this commitment every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, hymn number 327, and we'll sing all three verses. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, than held dread sway. Rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faith to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. Rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of red bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Please be seated.